better turn on the recording here. Verses 5 through 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. The scripture says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We just read that passage in the Psalms today, the sixth Psalm, where that David is casting his care. He is obviously in a very distressed situation, but he's casting his, taking his care to the Lord. He's taking the reality of his situation, what he's feeling at the time. He is taking it before the Lord, and he's putting it upon him. And then at the end of that very prayer that he's praying, he is rejoicing. He's rejoicing in the fact that the Lord hears his prayer. He's rejoicing in the fact that the Lord does care about him, and he can have some peace and some joy in his life because of the fact that he has the Lord. The Lord is with him. And looking at this passage today, affliction has a way of doing strange things to people. And one of the things it does is it breeds pride and contempt. We'll look at and think about Job and his friends here in a moment, and then also Job himself. But you ever had somebody act like what we're going through and what we're having to suffer is kind of our fault? You ever have somebody tell you, it's your fault that you're going through this, kind of like Job's friends did, and it's all because of what you've done that you're suffering and such as this, and there might be an element of truth to that, but obviously we don't like to hear that. That's not something that is a good thing for us to hear. But also, ever had somebody tell you, in a sense that, I told you so, if you'd have just listened to me, this wouldn't have happened. In other words, obviously they take the position of being much smarter than you are, of being much of having more spiritual insight or having some better insight into things than you have, and not really thinking about the fact that's a matter of pride, that they're really no better than we are, and that in fact that the suffering that we're going through, maybe it would destroy them if God were to put them through what we're having to go through. And so we find that there's a certain kind of a way that can be somewhat destructive during times of suffering, during times of affliction, times of hardship, and the Apostle Peter, I think, is addressing that here in this letter. Obviously, we're talking about Christian suffering and how that sometimes that God's people are going to suffer, and I think he's saying, when we read this passage of Scripture today and we see this passage, study and look through it, I think that the Apostle Peter is saying something like, if you're going through suffering, don't be so proud and arrogant and think that nobody has anything to say to you. And if you're one that sees others suffer, don't be so proud and arrogant as to think that you couldn't be going through the exact same thing, because we all can. And so there's a need for humility, of real humility in our lives whenever either we or someone around us is going through suffering. So we'll think about this a little bit. Well, think in just a moment, before we get into the verses, think in just a moment about affliction and how it does do strange things to people. Job's friends, especially the three friends that he had that dealt with him early on, were they got affected in a pretty bad way, where that they became very emboldened to look down upon Job and to bring words of pretty strong judgment against Job, not even knowing his heart, but claiming that they did. Claiming that they knew what he, you know, why he's going through what he was going through. And all that is pride. And Job explained it that way to his friends. And then later on, God himself, Elihu defended Job before his friends. And then later on, God himself defended Job before his friends. And saying, look, you know, it is a matter of, they are in this state of pride during this time when a dear brother is suffering, is going through some difficult times. And of course, we know the background of the story, which they weren't really seeing. And that is that Satan was attacking Job at that time. But Satan wanted God to give him free rein, and God gave him a little bit of rein, and God gave him a little bit of ability to affect Job. And God says, you know what? He's not going to deny me. Whatever you do, he's not going to deny me. The faith that I've given him is not going to cause him to stumble. And in fact, it didn't. But at the same time, affliction has a way of doing strange things to people. It causes people to be very uncomfortable, as Job's three friends were, wanting to get it fixed, wanting to do something and say something that'll cause Job no longer to be in that state of suffering and sorrow and such as that. They thought they had the magic pill. They thought they might have the remedy for his problem at this time, and they had no clue. But they... How did they get to that point? Pride. Pride got them to that point. Job himself, in suffering what he was suffering, ultimately and eventually, God dealt with Job too. During his suffering, Job got to the place of thinking, well, you guys don't have a clue what I'm going through. And he begins to look down on them. And he begins then to think as well that God is in fact mistreating him. And so we find that Job himself had to be corrected by the Lord. In Job 38, in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, nearing the end of the book, and all the way till chapter 42 and verse 6, we find from 38:1 to 42:6, God is back and forth with Job, and he's basically explaining to Job, because he's become proud and he's become a little too arrogant. And so the Lord says to him this, and look with me to verse 1 of chapter 38, and we'll just look at a few verses here. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now he's talking to Job now. He's not just talking about Job's friends. Now he's talking to Job. And he says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He says, okay, you gird up your loins and get ready. I'm going to ask you a few questions now. I'm going to say something to you, and you answer. You give me the answer, Job. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Verse 4. Where were you? Were you one of those that were you with me when I was laying the foundations of the earth? Were you that one that is so wise that you could create the heavens and the earth, or you could help me do that? He says, declare if thou hast understanding. If you got that kind of understanding, go ahead, explain it to me. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? You know how it all got laid out? You know how the measurements of it all were designed? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon art the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth? And if... as if it had issued out of the womb. And he goes on. And he's going to continue on to challenge Job at this time, because Job is filled with pride at this point. Job, the man who's the most patient man that we know of, is a man nonetheless who was ended up being filled with some pride. In chapter 42, we find Job answering the Lord. In chapter 42, verse 1, and if we read through this, we find pride is mentioned numerous times through this section. But it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not.'" Okay, he's being broken. His pride is being broken here. I said what I shouldn't have said. "Things too wonderful for me which I know not." I know you're doing things that are good and that are wonderful even for me at this time, and I don't understand it. I acknowledge the fact that I was a little bit too bold in criticizing you, God, for what things I'm going through. "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." In other words, I hate what I've been doing now. I realize that I've been filled with pride. Job himself, I've been filled with pride at this time as I've gone through all this suffering and everybody's been coming against me. And yet at the same time, I've said some things against God. And I've not really had the right understanding, nor have I taken the right position as it pertains to God and what he's doing. He's doing wonderful things, but I really don't claim that. I don't see that. And I don't even acknowledge it. Haven't acknowledged it. And therefore, I repent. I turn, God, because I haven't acknowledged the fact that all these terrible things that are happening to me are really going to work out. Where are they going to work out for my good? It might be in glory, but they're going to work out for my good. I see that. And God eventually is going to turn things around for Job, as we all know the rest of the story, chapter 43 through the end of it here. And God's going to make things so much better for him. But the fact is that God does that. He's one who accomplishes wonderful things. And we need to acknowledge the fact that he's much wiser than we are. And that when we look at things, our perspective on things as to how we're suffering and how we're going through troubles, that God still is in control. God's still on the throne. And we can still rejoice in him. We don't have to do what Job's wife said, curse God and die. We don't have to have that mentality that says it's all over. We don't have to have that mentality that says, well, God's just out to get me. He's out to destroy me. Because he's not. And so Job says, hey, you sound like somebody from the world. You sound like a worldly woman. And so, even though she wasn't, but we all get caught up in this. Sometimes we can get caught up in pride in these situations of affliction, of suffering, of going through trouble. 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 5, excuse me. In our text, we'll start at verse 5, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity. Now, we just pray that you'd give us clarity of understanding of what you've said here in this passage, and your will be done. Lord, we stand in need of you and your direction today. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 5, verse 5. First thing we'll see two things here in the text today. We're going to see sibling submission and sovereign submission. Okay, two things. Should be easy. S-S-S-S. Sibling submission, sovereign submission. These two things. Sibling submission, in other words, that we need to be submitting ourselves, be humble, and submit ourselves to others, to the others, those around us. Submit ourselves to those around us. We'll talk about what that means here as Peter's talking about it. And then also sovereign submission. And that is, we need to submit ourselves humbly unto God and unto his care over our life. And so we'll think of those two things here today as we look at this passage. Verse 5 says, it starts out with the word likewise. Likewise. So what does that mean? Well, it means he's connecting what he's about to say to something he's just said. And the something that he just said was he had been talking about to these pastors, and he's telling them, you don't want to be lords over God's heritage in verse number 3. He said, you need to be humble and realize that you're not the chief shepherd. Realize you're not the one that's in charge of the lives, in the sense of in charge of the lives of the people you're ministering to. In that ultimate sense, God is the Lord is their shepherd. And so he is saying here, hey, don't think yourself too big. Be careful that you don't think that you're something more than you really are. And so then he says, so likewise, now he's talking to others in the congregation, others in the among the Christians. He says, likewise, ye younger, the younger ones, the ones that are younger, that ultimately have not had maybe life experiences like those that are older. And this is one situation where he's not really talking about, right here in this same context, that he's really not talking about the elder in the sense of the office of elder. He's just talking about younger people versus older people. And he's saying here, you younger people, submit yourself to the older people, to those that are older. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. In other words, respect. Respect them for their age. Respect people for what their life experience has taken them through. Respect them. Respect people. And in a sense, that is a matter of breaking pride. Pride says, you don't have anything to say to me. You're an old fogey. You don't have anything to say to me. You're just, you don't understand my generation. Well, the fact of the matter is, older people probably have gone through what you are going through. Older people have probably experienced the things that we've experienced. And so even if they weren't, there's a matter of simple respect that God would have us to have. But notice that Peter is saying that it's a matter of humility. It's a matter of humility. Likewise, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Submission is not an easy thing to do. Submission is like yielding. It's like, don't jump down their throat because they told you something. It's like yielding and listening and showing respect. And so listen to what they say. Pride says they ain't got nothing to tell you. But humility says, you know what? I could probably use something that someone older than me might have to say. I could probably gain from them. And then he says, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. He says, not only respect for the elder, and not only submitting to those who are a little older than you are, but also just in general, everybody. How many votes does one church member have? How many votes does one church member have? One, right? And that's the way we conduct business, and that's the way it's supposed to be conducted. You got one vote. How many votes does the pastor have? Pastor's got 10. No, pastor's got one. Has one vote. Why? He's a much... hopefully, he's got a more grounded understanding of the scriptures than others. But how many votes does he have? One. How many votes does the person have who's just been saved? And they've been baptized and they're wanting to walk with the Lord and starting to walk with... How many votes do they have? A half? A quarter? No, they got one. They got one vote. They have just as much as the strongest member. The Word of God tells us in Romans that, you know, that there's a sense in which that we're to be receiving of people who might be weaker in the faith and such as that. We can all grow from one another. Every one of us can grow from one another. And so he says, for every one of you, yourselves, he says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. So yield and listen and take heed of what any of us might have to say to one another as God's people. Any of us. What can we Can we possibly benefit someone? Hey, absolutely. You say, well, he's got nothing to tell me. You know, he don't know nothing. God could use him. God could give him some understanding that you might need at this time. The Holy Spirit could kind of work in his heart, and he doesn't know much, but he knows this one verse, and it's kind of taken hold in his life, and it's kind of been something that is, you know, has helped him a lot, and he might have just what you need. And it might be something that you've overlooked for a long time, that I've overlooked for a long time. God's working in our lives. God is working in our lives. And he uses, it's very normal for God to use weak vessels. It's very normal for God to use people like us who are just a mess. We're all in that state. That we would have the humility to say and to know that someone else, that they're understanding that they're better than we are. That I would view other saints of God as not me better than them, but them better than me. And that they might truly have something that'll be worthwhile for me in my life. What is that? Again, it's certainly not pride. It's just the opposite. It's humility. And all it's a humbling thing when we might be approached by someone who we know is weaker, and yet at the same time, they may have just exactly what we need to hear. They may have just precisely the things that we need. So, yea, all of you be subject one to another. And he says, and then he says there, and be clothed with humility. Clothed. He uses that, uses a kind of a metaphor here to say, or an illustration here to say, you know what, you put things on and you know, today you're going to choose what you're going to wear. Some of us go through that process and it takes us a week to choose what we're going to wear the next week, or maybe it takes us a few days. Some people are really problematic and like me, it takes me, I change my shirt, you know, three times before I finally realize that's the one, you know, or the slacks before I realize, okay, that's what I'm going to wear today. And this doesn't feel right. This one doesn't feel quite right. And so what you got to do is sometimes we need to measure and make sure and think about what we're putting on. That we're not putting pride on, but that we're putting on some humility. He says, put on some humility. Be clothed with humility. Think about it. Not thinking you're better than another, but whether you or another is in peril, in difficulty, in trial, whatever it is, whether they're in a difficult situation or whether you're in a difficult situation, put on humility. He said, for all of us, just put on humility. And then he says, for God. So he says, why do we do that? Well, part of it is common sense, but part of it is also because of what God does. Part of it is what God's agenda is. God has an agenda. Do we want to yield to God's agenda and God's way of doing things, or do we want to just go our own way and fill ourselves with pride and think that our way is going to be just fine? He says, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, he says, and giveth grace to the humble. He gives grace. Humble yourselves, because God gives grace to the humble, not to the proud. He is going to give grace. If you lift yourself up with pride, then don't expect for God to be pouring out his blessings upon your life when you think that you're in control. When you think that you're the big one, and that you're the good one, and that you have everything under control. No, repent of that. Turn from that, like Job had to. Turn from that, because it's not good for us to think that what we're going through and what our difficulties are and our inner relationship with our siblings, are those that are in the Lord with us, that they don't have anything to say to us. God resists the proud. He's going to resist people who think they've got it all, and they don't think they can learn from someone lowly, and they don't think they can learn from, don't want to listen to the words that other people have, and they think they're proud. They think that the only reason why someone else is suffering is because of the fact that they didn't know how to handle life, and that you do. God resisteth the proud. God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, he says, not to the proud. So that's God's agenda. So in looking at verse number 5, we're looking at sibling submission. Submission is a thing that's to be done with all of us, all of God's people. We need to realize that every one of us respect what everyone has to say, respect what everyone's views is, because the fact of the matter is they might have something to teach us. They might have something to remind us of. They might have something to say to us that we already know, but we don't realize where we're at. We don't realize that we might be in a position that might not be where we ought to be. So, sibling submission. And then, so that's humility. And then the next thing about humility is verses 6 and 7, and that's sovereign submission. Now, he started into sovereign submission in that last phrase when he said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God is the one who's judging and concerning himself with how we view ourselves, how we view ourselves. He wants us to be humble. And then verse 6 says, so, because God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble, humble yourselves, therefore. Because of that, do it. Humble yourselves, therefore. Relinquish your pride. Relinquish your vain thought that you have everything under control and nobody can teach you anything. Nobody can give you anything that'll be beneficial to you. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Relinquish your pride. Humble yourselves under. Now, when you humble yourself under, that's submission again. He's talking about submission here. He's saying, humble yourself under this person. Put yourself under them. That's what he was talking about under sibling submission. Put yourself under them. Put yourself at a lower level than them. Realize that they might have something to say to you. Realize that each and every one of us might be beneficial to one another, and it's God's plan for that to be the case. And he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so humble yourselves under submission, the mighty hand of God. What is God? God is almighty. God is omnipotent. He has everything at his disposal. He has all the strength, all the ability to do anything. Is there anything too hard for God? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Therefore, humble yourselves, therefore. He's talking about what he just got through saying, that we're to submit to one another too, because God works through others, through other believers in our lives. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble, humility, God will exalt you. Now, if you just keep yourself in that state of pride, then don't expect God to exalt you any more than you would want to exalt some child of yours who rebels at everything you say. You're not going to exalt. You're not ready to exalt them. You're not ready to do all that much for them, because of the fact that they think they got it all. They think they own you. They think there's nothing you can possibly do for them that's going to be good and it's going to be beneficial to them. And so there's a sense in which that the Lord is the same way as maybe a parent. He's telling us here, you need to be humble. We need humility. And that humility is going to go a long way. And so the humility that he's referring to here, he's saying, hey, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And what's he talking about? That he may exalt you in due time. What's he referring to here? What is this about? Well, it's about suffering. It's about going through difficulty. It's about going through trying times. And so humble yourself. when you're going through those trying times, when you're going through the suffering. Humble yourself whenever you see others that are suffering. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Pray to God. Sometimes what we need is we need to pray for one another. Pray for one another when we're going through suffering. That's a humbling thing, to have to submit to God and His way of accomplishing and fixing things. God has a way of fixing things. Look to Him. You say, well, I got to do something for that person because that person is going, I got to correct them. I got to fix them. No, you don't. Nope. You can't anyway. But God can. And so where do you go? You go to Him. Go to Him about their case. Go to Him about their situation. How many of us are real good at that? Nobody. None of us are. No way. We're not good at that. It's a struggle. But it's what the Lord is calling us through. Peter is calling us to do. He's calling upon us to cast our care. That's the next word. Verse 7. So what's he talking about when he says, to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time? He's saying, cast all your worry, cast all your care upon Him. Who's he talking to? He's not just talking to the one who's suffering. He is talking to the one who's suffering. So that one that's suffering, cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. You know what, though? Sometimes when we're going through suffering, we don't feel like casting our care on anybody. We feel like having a pity party. That's what we feel like. And you know what? It's sometimes that's just acceptable. That's okay. It's all right. Sometimes it's all right for us to go through a time where we really do feel what God is doing to us and what He's doing in our life. We feel it. But then eventually, the Lord wants us to, like Job, to get over that. He wants us to get to that place where we realize that, you know, I'm just going to submit to God, and I'm going to let Him exalt me in due time. I'm going to let God take care of this thing, of this situation. But also, as I said, not just the person who's suffering does this verse apply to. It refers to Job's friends. It refers to Job's friends who are saying, I'm not talking about Job. You say, why is he talking about Job? Well, I'm just using them as an example here. It's to Job's friends to say, hey, you know what? You need to cast your care upon Him for Job. You're all worried about Job. You're trying to fix him. And you ain't got no way you can fix him. There's no way you can help this situation. This is all about the devil, and it's about spiritual wickedness in high places. It's about things happening in his life that you have no understanding of, that you really don't understand. You say, well, it's because he did this and that when he was, you know, 40. Or when she was 30, she was that way, you know, or whatever. We try to figure it all out. And then we're going to solve it for them, you know, like some psychologists. We're going to solve it. I'm not demeaning psychologists. They got a lot of good to add. But at the same time, sometimes we think we can fix things when God says, cast your care on me. When God says, if you're really worried about somebody who's suffering, then pray for them. Pray for them. Humble yourself. Don't think that you got something necessarily that's going to be the silver bullet that resolves all their issues. We don't. But we can look at the Word of God, and God's got some things. And we can, as God's people, we can do what the Lord says here. We can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. He cares for every one of us. He cares for those who are suffering. He cares for those that are not suffering and that are seeing other people suffer. And so He cares for us. He cares about what we care about. He causes that we weep with those that weep. He wants us to yield and submit ourselves one to another. He wants us to be humble one with another. And He wants us to be humble unto Him and realize that we are not in the place of God and that we are not sovereign. And that He's the mighty God. He's the one that the Scripture says here. He's the one that Peter refers to here as having the mighty hand. The mighty hand of God. Just Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, listen, there's no better place to be than under the mighty hand of God. There's no better place to be than exalting God's mighty hand and saying, God can do it. I can't, but God can. God can fix the situation. God can resolve the situation. So what we're saying here is that Peter is dealing with people who are going through suffering. We kind of see that all through this letter. He's dealing with people who are going through suffering. And he's saying, you know what? There's all kinds of troubles that arise because of that suffering. All kinds of difficulties. And it causes people who are not suffering to be lifted up with pride and thinking that they've got the answer and they know what, you know, they're not suffering. So obviously they're better than that person who is. And that's just absolutely ridiculous and not the case. And then there's people who are suffering and they look down on those that are not suffering and they say, you have got no clue whatsoever. You've got nothing you can tell me whatsoever because the fact of the matter is I know much better than you do. And either one of those two positions is pride. Either one of those is pride, and the Word of God is saying, Peter is saying to these saints of God, you'll be a lot better off if you just cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. Trust Him. Depend on Him, and realize that submitting to God, it requires that we yield to Him our worries, our cares. Worry about a lot of things, but He can do something about it. Why wouldn't you go to the one that can do something about it? Why wouldn't we go to the one that not only can He, but He will? Why don't we go to the one that clearly has our best interest at heart? And so as we look at this passage, Peter seems to be talking here about a remedy to pride. And this remedy to pride in peril is that humility that he says should be active among the siblings, among the brothers and sisters in Christ, and active concerning our sovereign, that he is in control and he can do something about the suffering that we're enduring. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, the opportunity to look into your word today. And we just pray, Lord, we just humbly know that there's nothing we can do and that even our address about this situation is meaningless without your spirit and without you doing something about it in each of our hearts. And we just pray that you'd help us to yield. Help us to know, Lord, that we're just like every other believer, and that we're sinners, and that we're a mess, and that we're saved by your grace, and that we say the wrong things, and we do the wrong things, and we think the wrong things at times. But Lord, we just pray that you might help us as your people to acknowledge you, to yield ourselves to you, and to your sovereign leadership in all things, and yield to you as the one who can actually change things. And we'll praise you and honor you as we know you do it, as we've all experienced it in our lives. And we praise you and honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.